Three, two, one.
Welcome back to the Anyone Can Run podcast, the podcast for those new members of the running community who want to knock out their first race, whether it's a 5K, full marathon, or anything in between. I am your host, True Bros, aka Gabe, aka the guy who is back live streaming gameplay on YouTube most weeknights, and I'm an NCC-certified personal trainer, gamer, and sneakerhead who specializes in helping clients reach their health and fitness goals. This podcast is a dash of motivational words, a chronicle of my running, my personal journey on the road to Gainesville, some poor attempts at humor, but above all, it's the place where we cover the marathon mindset, the running routines, and everything else you need to know to help you absolutely dominate your first race. Before we dive in too far, where I'm at in Texas, ragweed is pretty high, and I don't know what ragweed is, but I know it's got me feeling all types of messed up. So if I don't sound like my usual Orson Welles, sultry, smooth, silky voice, you know, self that I normally have, that's why. So I just wanted to give that little notification up front. I didn't want you to think the Anyone Can Run podcast had been taken over by somebody else. It's still yours truly. I'm just a little under the weather at the moment. Now, odds are, at some point, you've read or heard of the concept of work-life balance. It's a very real issue for people, and like many, it's something I used to struggle with. Especially now, as many of us who are fortunate enough to have jobs or careers, where we're able to work or attend school from home, it can be difficult to strike the perfect balance when you're both living and working in the same space. Especially when I was early in my career and I had a remote job, I know it took me a couple months to find that groove of being able to work and relax in the same space. Fast forward a few years to now, and I've worked from home off and on full time for a few years, so I no longer have that struggle, and I absolutely prefer working from home. That being said, I'm acutely aware many of my friends, family, and colleagues still struggle with finding that work-life balance. In the same vein, many of the clients I've worked with over the years and have reached out, or who have reached out and hired me as their personal trainer because they want to kickstart their journey towards living a healthy and fit lifestyle, they have also kind of struggled with that, right? They want that professional guidance to ensure they are working out in a safe and productive manner, which I absolutely understand and am happy to see. That being said, once we settle into our regular cadence of getting together and working, in my anecdotal experience, more often than not, I'd see my clients needed me as a trainer for two specific reasons. And I'm talking about me, a human, Gabe, the gamer, the sneakerhead. One, to ensure they're following a plan that's productive, to monitor progress, and to confirm they are performing each exercise as safely as possible, right? That's kind of what you think of when you think of a personal trainer. But the second reason, and perhaps more importantly, is they leverage my presence for accountability, which in turn helps them develop discipline. My being there, physically being there, or over Zoom, depending on, you know, the style of our training, helps make me a regular part of their schedule, which I believe helps fit me and working out into their work-life balanced Tetris or Jenga style, right? It's like, oh man, I got to meet with Gabe at 2 o'clock on Friday. Well, then let me insert that into the schedule. Let me get him penciled in. For those of you kicking off your personal journey towards living a healthy and fit lifestyle, primarily through pounding the pavement and do not have another person physically present to help keep you honest, I know exactly how you're feeling. When I signed up for my first race, I did so because I had something to prove to myself, and I didn't have the funds, time, or interest, if we're being honest, to hire someone else to keep me on the straight and narrow. As I think back to the time when I first started running regularly, or switched jobs, or had some type of life change which altered my day-to-day significantly, these were periods where my workouts suffered tremendously, and as a result of my workout suffering, so did to my mental state or my level of how content I was at the moment. Either my mileage dropped, the frequency of my workouts varied wildly, or I flat out just stopped working out for weeks at a time. This wasn't caused by injury or anything like that. It was primarily due to my struggling with work-life balance. I've always found introductions of something new to my daily routine leads to a few weeks where I'm trying to get acclimated and find my groove. As I reflect upon these periods in my personal life, I can't help but recall the numerous conversations I've had with clients, which brought to light the fact that they hired me essentially because they too struggled with fitting living a healthy and fit lifestyle into their daily routine. As I am now very fortunate to have a job where I can work from home, fitting daily physical activity has been easier than ever before, although not when, you know, the ragweed is at 100 and I can't really think because I got a massive sinus headache. But even with that, there have been plenty of times in the past where I was afforded that same luxury of time, but I didn't leverage it to the fullest extent possible. I'm cognizant of those times where I either struggled to find a work-life balance or simply did not use my time as efficiently as I would have liked. Considering there's no substitute for experience, I'm doing my best to not fall into those pitfalls I did previously, but this got me thinking about the entire concept of what we've dubbed today's episode, and that's running life balance. In previous conversations, we've discussed how integral it is to make the components of living a healthy and fit lifestyle, and we're talking making smart decisions with our meals and physical exercise, an essential part of our day. The same way drinking coffee, going to work or school, and taking care of the little ones is. We'll undoubtedly touch on this again today, but when discussing the concepts of work-life balance or running life balance, a word comes to the forefront of my mind, which I believe can occasionally fall to the wayside in our own mental minds, and that word is compromise. The same way we need to compromise in all of our relationships, whether they be personal, professional, social, whatever, we need to embrace the concept of compromise when it comes to incorporating running into our lives. This is a little anecdote, but during my first in-person or practical session when I was going through the process of obtaining my personal training certification, my instructor asked the class how many of us had completed a full marathon. And I could tell he was surprised when I was the only one who'd raised my hand, but I'm going to attribute that to his personality, and I wasn't overly fond of him on a personal or professional level. Sidebar of our anecdote to illustrate why. A couple classes later, he asked me to squat down. We're talking knees to knees, ankles to ankles with my butt on my ankles, because he assumed as a runner I'd have tight hamstrings. This was because we were talking about testing for tight hamstrings, so it wasn't like he just called me out, you know, out of nowhere. But he assumed that I'd struggle to get back up. Naturally, I mean, I didn't, because I've always been a staunch advocate of cross-training, but he was a bit of a know-it-all, so I wasn't his biggest fan. Anyways, because I don't want to give shine to somebody that I wasn't fond of, when I said I'd completed a marathon, he asked the usual question people do. What was your time? How long did it take? And I've never been a fan of that mentality. Whenever potential clients would tell me that they'd completed a race of any distance, I always ask the same two questions in this order. How did it feel, and what did it take? He eventually asked a similar question, and I brought up the concept of compromise. He then eventually picked up what I was throwing down, and mentioned to the class it takes hours of work and an obscene amount of focus to prepare for and complete a race of that magnitude and, you know, yada yada yada. The reason I always ask clients, what did it take, is because just in the same way we must train to physically and mentally prepare for undertaking our first race, the compromises we make with ourselves, with our lifestyles, and with those around us are just as important, and in my experience, all too often overlooked. Some people need a personal compromise, such as having another person there to push them on, or needing another person physically there to put the quote-unquote blame on. In my limited professional experience, that's kind of why clients sought me out. Perhaps it's because there's no monetary incentive tied to it like there is with our work, or no strong emotional connection like there is with our friends and family. But that internal compromise of lifestyle and time changes, that can be difficult to reconcile. It's like we already have to go to work and sit in traffic and clean and go to the grocery store. So the last thing we want to do is something that feels like work. We've discussed this in previous conversations, but our mindset and perspective to how we mentally approach tasks is instrumental in setting ourselves up for success, especially when we're first getting comfortable with the prospect of running or exercising regularly. If you mentally establish a contentious view of working out with the litany of lifestyle changes you're going to have to implement, then you're making things exponentially more difficult for yourself from a mental perspective. Although it sounds like bull, we've all heard the hardest part of working out is actually going outside or getting to the gym. And I know it sounds like junk, but it's absolutely true. Once you put on your clothes and you put on your sunblock, or you drive to the gym and you pull into the parking lot, what are you going to do? You're not just going to go back home and post up on the couch. No, no, no. You're going to go inside or outside and you're going to get to work. This is why it's so important to be cognizant of our attitudes and our diction when it comes to how we discuss working out, because even the most subtle hints of negativity can derail us. Combative language such as, oh, I have to work out, or oh, I can't eat that, makes our healthy lifestyle decisions seem like a chore or a slog. And I don't know about you, but I'm not about that life of doing things I can't stand. It's why I hardly cook. When you use positive language, both verbally and, I'd say more importantly, in your own head as it relates to working out, you're doing your best to set yourself up for consistency and success, which is critical when we're first starting out our journey on the road to Gainesville. Although it's not a perfect comparison, the same thing can be said for work responsibilities or something we absolutely need to do for whatever reason. All too often, both in my own life, in discussions with clients, friends, and family, I've seen people trivialize the significance of the language we use, which goes hand in hand with our attitude. We don't always have the luxury of controlling what we need to do, but we absolutely have the ability to dictate how we feel about it. Sure, there are inevitable emotional reactions to certain stimuli, but we can't forget how easy it is to take a step back, take a deep breath, count to 10, and control how we respond. We have the ability to control how we respond to everything, which by extension means we have the same ability to control our language and attitude. The less negativity we bring around our journey towards living a healthy and fit lifestyle, in terms of our thoughts, attitudes, and word choice, I'd hazard a guess our chances of progressing on that journey and not having it end after a week or two go up exponentially. You might think, gee, True Rose, you're telling me to not be negative and to only use positive language and to keep my attitude in check and to not view running as work or a chore, but as something I get to do, like it's some kind of luxury or privilege. How is this all going to help me establish my running life balance? Well, my friend, first off, I don't like being interrogated because I'm the one who does the talking here, but I like where you're coming from. Granted, this is a generalized statement, which doesn't take into account each of our situations, but hey, we've only got a few minutes every other week where we're having our conversation, and you're an intelligent human being who runs, so I know you understand the sentiment I'm going for. In many of our discussions to date, we've emphasized the marathon mentality, or the marathon mindset, and if you've listened to a recent episode where I emphasized my particular frame of mind during and immediately after I completed my first race, you've probably noticed something I did not do during that period was compromise. If learning to listen to our bodies is the greatest skill a runner develops as part of a race training cycle, establishing the marathon mindset is the greatest benefit of running these high mileage races. Obviously, something as subjective as a mentality can't be broken down into tangible components. But that doesn't mean we can't emphasize the crucial components of it. The significance of compromise as it relates to our running endeavors can't be overstated. When you're training, things are going to change. Much in the same way I had to lead my instructor to emphasize the concept of compromise to my classmates and I, it's important to not forget running is just one facet of who we are as individuals. Prior to training for my first race, I never gave much thought to what or how much food I was consuming. I'd eat and that was it. I'd go out for lunch with my wife or my friends, and I'd never give a second thought to where we were going. I was primarily concerned with how much everything was going to cost because I ain't made of money. However, once I started running, I'd notice even though I'd feel fine for the first 2 miles, I would inevitably begin feeling heavy and sluggish if I'd gorged myself on something greasy or sugar-laden the night before. While it's very easy to say, well, that means your compromise is going to be no more pizza before a long run, to me that feels a little bit like a cop-out. I don't know about you, but I've got no problem admitting I'm a real person with a social life. I had a social life before pandemic, you know. And not only do I much prefer wings or Taco Bell or pizza to salad or grilled chicken with vegetables, but I occasionally liked to, this is all kind of past tense at the moment, but I'd like to go out with my friends or my wife to a bar and have a few drinks and eat something greasy and covered with cheese. Now, have I been doing this with less frequency than I used to? Obviously, right? But is it a tremendous loss? Of course not. I was just filling my body with junk and spending money. However, the compromise there had to change, or rather my predilections or my routine had to change to benefit not just Gabe the runner, but Gabe the person. When we begin traversing our personal journey on the road to Gainesville, to me, that's always meant being cognizant of the decisions you're making in everyday life. It doesn't mean you have to go to the gym every day or only eat meat and vegetables, but it means your physical well-being is one of your real priorities. I used to go out with my friends to bars prior to the global pandemic, but these trips looked much different than they did when I first started running. Not only was I imbibing way less, but I'd have to eat something that wasn't too heavy or chock full of sugar and grease to ensure I was feeling good both later that day and the next. Fortunately, those I opt to spend my time with appreciate my preference towards actually being able to eat half-decent meals. However, I've worked with clients who have confided some of their friends and family weren't nearly as understanding. In my professional experience, this is where I've seen clients struggle with the concept of compromise as it relates to their journey on the road to Gainesville. It's not the motivation. They have their own personal reasons for wanting to implement their lifestyle change. It's not that they don't have discipline. They're working on it, and they hired me specifically to assist and to ensure they are exercising safely and efficiently. No. It's the compromises they have to implement in their everyday lives, which have a direct impact on their ability to get stronger, healthier, and faster. The most finite resource we have as human beings is time. We only have so much time in a day, and we all have things we need to do every single day, like eat, go to work, school, commute, sleep, yada, yada, yada. This means we've only a limited amount of leisure time per day. And if you begin incorporating longer runs, the amount of free time you have is conversely going to go down. And there's nothing wrong with that. Investing in yourself is always an intelligent move. And when it comes to investing and prioritizing your health and fitness, in my humble opinion, there is literally no downside. That being said, as we realize working out is going to eat into some of our limited free time, we want to be cognizant of the compromises we're going to have to make, not just from a time standpoint, but everything else. When your eating habits, your daily routine, the clothes in your closet, how you spend your weekends, your travel arrangements, all of these things can change based on your love affair with running. And none of that is inherently a bad thing. Truth be told, you probably don't even need to devote too much brain power to keeping all of that in mind. as I know you're a functioning human being with 99 problems, but running ain't one. I'll certainly never tell you what to do or how to live your life, as the entire point of our conversations here is to relay my learnings and my experience to serve as an example for you psychomaniac new members of the running community. But I will say one thing that has been integral to my development of my personal marathon mindset. We've stressed the importance of goal setting in many of our discussions here, and also emphasized the need to eradicate negativity from our mindset and diction, especially when we're talking to ourselves. You're not a weirdo, everybody does it. However, it's just as important to eradicate stressors and negativity and naysayers from your environment. If you have a goal and someone is regularly putting you down or using negative language around you, don't be shy about bringing it up to them. I'm not saying to go all Karate Kid and sweep the leg. Nah, 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 nah. I'm just saying it's interesting trying to find the balance of working on yourself while also trying to fulfill social and societal obligations. I remember listening to a podcast where Jocko Willink was being interviewed. And if you don't know who he is, he's a retired American naval officer who served as a Navy SEAL. And if you live outside the USA and perhaps aren't familiar with that branch of the United States military, let me just paraphrase to let you know that he's a badass dude. Jocko recalled a conversation he had with someone who essentially asked him, "How did you do it?" referring to him writing a book while he has a family and a million other things going on. He said the person he was conversing with said something to the effect of, "Oh man, I'm doing work and I'm grinding and I want to do this and I want to do that, but my family isn't supporting me and they're holding me back and blah, blah, blah," right? Jocko's response was basically, "Hey guy, it's not about you." Jocko elaborated upon how he was able to complete all his work by saying he was cognizant of where his family was at that time, meaning he needed to be there for them at certain points throughout the day. And he stated the majority of his book was written when they were asleep. I find this anecdote to be relevant to our discussion about compromise. Although I haven't encountered this personally, I could absolutely see someone being driven and focused and perhaps going too far down the rabbit hole and thinking, "Oh, my family doesn't understand. I can't eat this and they don't care and blah, 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 and me, me, me." But it's all about compromise. Our decision to lead a healthy lifestyle is something we're doing for ourselves because we want to be stronger and prioritize our physical well-being and fitness. As a result, that means it's our problem and our problem alone if the restaurants we frequent during happy hour don't serve the kind of fuel we're looking to consume. And it means we either need to wake up earlier or go to bed later to get a workout in. We aren't here to be one of those holier-than-thou jerks, right? Can't stand those kind of people who are just like, "Oh my God, you don't get it. You don't work hard enough, blah, blah, blah." The concept of compromise goes both ways. It isn't just external forces which can adversely impact your journey on the road to Gainesville. Your predilections toward what you consume and how you spend your free time can certainly impact those around you. And running and our health and fitness is just one component of who we are as individuals. Running can have a profound, positive impact on our lives, but we want to be sure no matter what we're doing, we're cognizant of the other obligations we have, and we don't allow those to fall to the wayside. The concept of running life balance is one I personally have never had to find. However, I'm not oblivious to the fact my circumstances are not like everyone else's. I have a small group of friends who similarly prioritize their health and fitness, and if they don't in the same manner I do, they are at least passively aware of my preferences and take them into account. I also have a spouse who is completely supportive, and since she does most of the cooking, it's pretty much a "this is what we're eating this week" scenario. And she's, I'm going to tell you, this is a small shout out and this is not sponsored in any way, but she has been killing that HelloFresh game. And since I'm not cooking, I mean, I don't really care what we're eating, but you know, she's cognizant of my preferences. I'm fortunate enough to have a workplace which affords me the ability to work from home, and I don't have little ones or pets running around the house I need to care for. I've worked with many clients who do not share circumstances similar to my own, and believe it or not, hiring and paying me to meet with them at a designated time was not the reason they were able to substantially progress on their fitness journey. Nah. I was just the instructor, there to ensure everything went well, and, you know, making sure that they're exercising safely and productively. I was merely facilitating. And if you ask me, what truly allowed them to progress was, even during their hectic schedule of commuting to work and picking up the kids and preparing weeknight dinners for the family, was the fact that they carved out time in their daily routine to exercise, just like they did with each of the aforementioned. They were able to tell their children or friends or spouses, hey, I'm busy this time Tuesday and Thursday, but we can make time on Wednesday, or whatever, because they had a standing appointment with yours truly. It may seem trivial, but when you or your friends know you've time blocked out on the calendar just like you would on Outlook in the office, it helps to create an out-of-sight, out-of-mind mentality and may get you thinking that that specific time is already accounted for. Granted, this just may be a mental trick that's beneficial for only a handful of individuals, but being cognizant of how your mind and body operates is one of the integral components of the marathon mentality. If you know you're the kind of person who likes scheduling and bar charts and lists and being organized, if you need to physically block out time on some kind of calendar to help you get in the correct headspace to work out and communicate to those around you that you have a hard stop at 5 p.m., then more power to you. Setting ourselves up for progress towards reaching our goals isn't difficult, but it does require you being at least passively aware of your environment, your predilections, and those around you. Regardless of how you view running, whether it be a means to an end, such as getting healthy, an opportunity to clear your head, or literally just a way to rack up bling, it's still just one component of who you are as a healthy and fit individual. Don't lose sight of that. And remember, running can be as relaxing or as stressful as you make it. It's just a form of exercise, and for me, it's my time to zone out. While we certainly want to complete our first race in the upright position, feeling as strong and confident as possible, we don't want to put undue pressure on ourselves to perform. Remember to not stress yourself or get in your own head, because it's all about being better than we were yesterday, not necessarily running at Olympic level speeds. I've always believed finding balance isn't as difficult as everyone makes it out to be. You just need to be cognizant of how much mental, physical, and emotional effort you're putting in, not just towards where you spend your time, but yourself. Me time and self-care aren't just buzzwords. It's something we all need. As psychomaniac runners, I'm here to tell you, it doesn't get much better for people like us than cool weather, open roads, loose-fitting clothes, and some solitudes or a very inspirational podcast for new members of the running community in your ears. I appreciate you spending some time with me today, and I hope you're seeing what I see, that truly anyone can run. We drop new episodes every other Monday, so make sure you smash that subscribe button. If you've ever got questions or ideas for a topic you'd like covered in a future episode, feel free to hit me up on Instagram or Twitter at AnyoneCanRunPod. If you enjoy Anyone Can Run, notify a fellow runner or someone who wants to kick off their journey on the road to Gainesville so we can all help one another live a healthy and fit lifestyle. It also helps when you leave a quick rating and review in your podcast app of choice to help us dominate the charts. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Anyone Can Run podcast, and if you did, don't forget to pound that subscribe button. If you didn't enjoy it, well, you get what you pay for, and regardless, I look forward to seeing you on the road to Gainesville.